wanted to continue to preach on the theme that will be preached on all this year. If everyone in this church was just like me, what kind of church would this church be? Today I want to talk to you about finishing the race. Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your love and your mercy. And we ask, God, that is, we'll minister to this house today and touch us with your power. God, move on us with your glory, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. See, it's not how you run the race, but it's how you finish the race that really matters. In a early 50s, mid-50s, there were two young men brought into Major League Baseball on the same day with the same team. One of them had a wonderful baseball name. His name was Greenfield, played second base. He was noted to be a hitter. They were expecting great things out of him. The other guy was a no-known prospect out of the Negro League, and they didn't know if he'd even make it in Major League Baseball because he had his hands backwards on the bat all the time. His nickname was Wrong Hand. They played their first ball game on the same day. Greenfield went 3-for-4 with two doubles. Wrong Hand went 0-for. Those of you know what that means, that means he didn't get nothing. Struck out twice. The first 8 ball games that man played in, he didn't get a hit. He actually only flied out one time in 8 games. Have y'all ever heard of Mr. Greenfield? He didn't make the Hall of Fame. He didn't last in pro baseball. As a matter of fact, halfway through the season, he was batting like 186 because he just got to where he couldn't find the bat anymore. They figured out he couldn't hit curveballs. He ended up leaving. Nobody ever heard of him anymore. Now, this other guy changed his hands on the bat. Of course, before the end of that year, he hit 30 home runs with his hands backwards. We know him as Hammer and Hank Aaron, who hit 755 home runs in his career. So you understand it wasn't how he started, it's how he finished up that mattered. And what we got to understand is we're in a race. And we are here today because I believe there are some people that are discouraged in their race. There are people that are growing weary in well-doing. But now notice what the Bible said. First of all, there is a cloud of witnesses that are surrounding us. It also says there is a race that is set before us. He also says that there are weights or sins that threaten to entangle us. But he also says there is Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Could you say amen? Hebrews is one of the most relevant books for our day. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21, this is what the Bible said. It said, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well, pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. For I have written a letter unto you in a few words. Hebrews is a book of encouragement. Amen. This book was probably written to the Hebrews or the Jewish Christians who had chosen to follow Christ. I don't know about y'all, but these guys were probably converted by the original disciples. They had met the men that had walked with Christ and seen the miracles, and it was fresh in their mind, the power of God that moved. But at the same time, these people were being discouraged because when they became a Christian, the government turned against them. When they became Christians, their neighbors would turn against them. When they became Christians, all kind of persecution would happen to them. And some, if you remember in this day, were probably being beheaded. You know, you had a guy named Saul of Tarsus that was going around killing people because they were Christians in the name of the church. And so this writer, and I'm going to tell you that I believe it was Paul. You can argue any way you want to, and he can be whoever, it don't say in the Bible, so I believe it was Paul wrote this letter. But Paul was writing to encourage them. The very man that once held the coat of a man being while they stoned a Christian, the very man who was on his way to kill some Christians when he met Christ, who finally got saved and became the great writer of the New Testament, he writes to these people and he said, this is a letter of exhortation. This is a letter to let you know there is a God. And in every chapter you find something that can encourage you about the God you serve. And he's trying to tell them, don't give up. Don't turn around. It's not time to quit. You may be on the last leg of the race, but if you can just hold out to the end, you're going to make it. Could you say amen? Glory. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? It's a book that challenges our faith. It's a book that extols us about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is probably not another book in the Bible that magnifies Jesus as much as the book of Hebrews. It tells us what he's done. Tells us what he's going to continue to do, and tells us what he will do in the future. Amen. This letter, the Hebrews, was written to those people to let them know God cared. Amen. Now notice this. There is no option to stop. There is no option to give up. Hello? People say, oh, it's not right here. You do. You don't make it to the finish. You will never hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well, this looks like a good place to rest. I don't know if any of y'all have ever been to Klingler's Dome. I managed to walk up that thing. Then I climbed up on the dome at the top. I had more trouble coming down than I did going up. But a couple of times going up, I had to stop. Looked like a good place to sit down. I don't know if y'all understand this or not, but it's real high in the elevation and the air's real thin. And a couple of times I thought if I had a scuba gear, I could go on to the top of the hill. And then I noticed the park ranger go by in a cart, and I looked at Frida and said, reckon he'd take me the rest of the way. Glory. You know, and that's basically where we are now in the race for God. We are running the race, but many of us have found a good place to sit, and we think because we got here, we're all right. And I remember I used to dream about that as a young Christian because I'd hear people say, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, on my way to heaven. And I'd be going, man, I can't wait till I graduate and get where they are. And guess what? I'm not graduated yet, and neither are you. And we will not graduate until we make it to the other side and we hear him cry, well done, my good and my faithful servant. Could you say amen? Notice this, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is better. Hello? Listen, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. You say, what do you talking about? All of a sudden the writer of Hebrews said, first thing I got to tell you, he's a better prophet than any prophet that ever walked on the face of this earth. I know you like Samuel, and I know you like Elijah and Elijah, and you like to write your letters about them, but Jesus Christ is the best prophet that ever came. God in the past talked to you by prophets, but today he's speaking to you through his Son, who is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Could you say amen? Glory. But I notice this, being made also in the fourth verse, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained more excellent name than they. Not only is he a better prophet, he's better than the angels. Oh, you like to deal on them angels. You like to get visited by angels. But we're talking about one that is greater than any angel that could ever come see you. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Then listen what he tells them in the 10th verse. Amen. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hath laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of his hands. They shall perish, but thou remaineth. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou hold them up, and they shall be charged, but thou at the same, and the year will not fail. He said, wait a minute. Not only is he a better prophet, and he's greater than the angels, but he's going to outlast creation. Could you say amen to that, church? I don't know if y'all understand what I'm telling you, but he said, my God, Jesus is a greater prophet. He's better than the angels. He's going to outlast creation. He is greater than any sacrifice. He is greater than anything you could ever put up. My God, in his name, is greater than anything, with greater power than anything could come against it. And because of that, you cannot give up. You got to hold on to the hand of the unchanging mighty God, who is going to give you peace that will pass all understanding forever and forever and forever. Could you say amen? Glory. Hallelujah. Only bad thing about this thing is I hit it sometime and it jumped 5 pages. Glory. Glory. I caught back up somewhere. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, we need to understand. Acts 17:28. For in him we live, and in him we move, and in him we have our being. We need to understand everything we are is because of him. Hello? We got folks that think they're God's gift to the church. Uh-uh. We're who we are because of who he is. Come on, church. And a guy told me one day, he said, you act like Jesus, some kind of crutch. I said, look, dude, I was crippled. I needed something. I don't know about y'all, but I'm not on an even keel. I understand that. Some of y'all don't, and you ain't. Smile. I mean, let's face it. I was a drug addict and alcoholic. I didn't get that way because I was on the middle of the keel. I needed help. But God came into my life, and he took that nothing and stumbled into that altar, and everything I am and everything I'm ever going to be and every accomplishment I'm ever going to have is going to be because I am in the hands of an unchanging God who loves me and cares for me and has the power to provide for me. Could you say amen? That's why Paul finally said, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me, and the life I live through him, and without him I am nothing. Could you say amen? Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have to pleasure in him, have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe in the saving of the soul. Sorry, but I might throw this in, won't cost you nothing. But then once saved, always saved, folks. Must have never read that. I just shocked some of you because y'all believe that, but you need to get the Bible. Quit believing what somebody told you. Get back in this book. Because the writer of Hebrews said, guys, you can't quit. You got to live by faith. But if you turn back, he has no compassion for you. He still loves you. He'll still take you back when you come back. But that was there to help you before no longer exists. Well, I don't believe that. I don't care. It's in the book. We got a lot of people that's going to believe and go to hell because they believe what some dude told them instead of the black and white of the Bible. Hebrews 10:26, if a man willfully sin, after he has come to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no longer a sacrifice for his sin. I got to move on. That's not the point right yet. Glory. Listen. We need to draw God into our lives. We need the encouragement. If there's ever been a day when people could get discouraged, it's the day in which we're living. I mean, let's face it, Sandy Hook, how many of us have ever believed in our lifetime that a bunch of kids in an elementary school get shot by some lunatic? Huh? I remember when the guy broke into West End Christian and held the kids prisoner for about, 20-something or 12, 14 hours. He actually had to send some of the kids out because they were trying to take him down. He told them, said, you got to get them out of here. I'm going to have to hurt them. Glory. They were 10-year-old boys, but they didn't get over conspiring. We can get him on the ground. I don't know that that guy ever intended to hurt anybody. He was just trying to make a splash for some reason. But nowadays, they go in with intent. They're not walking in trying to hold nobody. They're blowing people away through them coming through the door. I mean, who would ever thought people would be in a movie theater and so many people get shot that when the people went in to get them, they actually squished the floor with the blood that was running through that building? Who would ever thought we'd live in a day where we can't even expect our bank accounts not to get taken over by some idiot that stole our ID and cleans our pocketbooks out? Come on, church. Who would have ever thought that we'd live in a day like the day in which we're living, where the economy at one day's up and the next day's down, and we don't know where it's going in the middle, and we're waiting on Obamacare to kick in so we can all have insurance? Yeah, right. Oh, y'all better read that real quick, because it said at significant age, at doctor's discretion, he could deny you coverage and nobody will get mad at him. I don't know about y'all, but I'm getting close to that significant age. Bothers me. Hello? You passed it. I just thought I'd throw that in. It won't cost you nothing. Glory. I know I'm going to get amens out of that section. Glory. Listen. We're living in a day when this whole world seems to be falling apart. But not only that, have you ever noticed the apathy of the people in the church? It's as if it doesn't matter. I'm all right. Long as it ain't bothering me. When's the last time you looked through the paper and just happened to breeze through the section that says obituary and start reading and just stop and say, I wonder, was that person saved? Especially if it's a young person. I wonder if that person was ready to go. See, that's where we're at. We become so non-caring. It's all about us. And then so once we get to worried about us, every time something happens to us, it discourages us. But now notice what he said. Number one, there is a cloud of witnesses who surround us. Amen. You know what he's saying? He's saying, don't get discouraged. Man, you're encompassed around by a great cloud of witnesses that lay aside every weight. You know what he said? He said, hey, you got to realize there's people cheering you on. Amen. This chapter's written. He's talking about the day in which he lived. They had a lot of games, Olympic games, different games in Greece. And they would go and they would have these amphitheaters that would literally completely mutate one of our football fields. They were six times as long as the football field and had a building built all the way around them. Well, we're bringing in hundreds of thousands. They're bringing in half a million or more. And they're riding up in there, and they're watching them race chariots. Hey, man, you know, kind of like Talladega. That was their speedway in that day. Hey, amen. And they cheated like they do at Talladega. Some of them have blades that stick out and cut the other guy's wheel. Come on, church, smile. People be up in the stand, yeah, yeah. And they had their favorites, and they paid big coin to go see one of them. Then they have boxing matches in one corner. They'd have track and field in another, and the people be out there cheering their favorite guy on, hoping he'd win. And all they were going to get was a little lay that they could put on the head to say they won that was probably going to rot because it wasn't made out of stuff. It was actually just a woven piece of some type of a plant that they put on the head, showed they won. Glory. Church, we're not after a lay that's going to rot. We're after eternity. It's going to last forever. Amen. But notice this. Just as those people in the stands were doing, Paul turns around and said, you got a cloud of witnesses that are cheering you on. That once you get started, they're trying to tell you, don't quit. It's time to make it up. It's time to keep going. It's not time to let down. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, I'm reading in the Bible. It says, wherefore. In some translations, it says, therefore. Amen. And I learned a long time ago, if you see wherefore or therefore, you need to know why, wherefore or therefore it is there. Glory. Hello? It's got a reason. And what this wherefore is doing is saying, hey, I'm just continuing to talk with you about what I talked about in the prior chapter. You say, what are you talking about? The prior chapter is the Hall of Fame. You ever notice that in every sport they've got a Hall of Fame? Amen. Well, guess what? In the sport of living for God and running this race, we got a Hall of Fame that we can reach back and grab a hold of and we can look at. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, it said, for by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Amen. You know what it said? It said, we got folks that made it. Amen. Even when it wasn't likely that they should have made it. Listen to what it tells us. That first of all, through faith, we understand the worlds are framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made by things which do appear. For by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, but he was not found because God had translated him. By faith, it is impossible to please him. But for we cometh to God, we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Notice, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, built an ark to the saving of his household. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out into a place which he should have received an inheritance, obeyed, and went out not knowing whether he went. But by faith he sojourned, basically saying, I'm looking for a city whose foundations the builder and the maker of is God. Could you say amen? You say, what are you talking about? These men lived by faith. They died in faith. The Bible said, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, that he would receive the promise, of whom he said, that I in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Amen. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. You ever read that story in the Bible? Abraham takes his son to the top of the mountain. He knows when they go up. That boy is the sacrifice. But notice what he said to the guys holding the mules. Stay here. The boy and I will return. Glory. I don't know about y'all, but that's faith. It's faith that God's going to bring him back, or God's going to provide a sacrifice. Either way, we're coming back and we're going home together, because he's the promise God gave me. Glory. Hello. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. And you know what he told them? Don't leave my bones in Egypt. Take them home, bury them where they need to be. Glory. Come on, church. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden in the bulrush because his family saw him to be a different child. Glory. That's Ken Stroop translation. You can read it. It's behind me. Glory. Choosing not to suffer the afflictions of the Jews rather than stay in the royal family. This dude had it made, threw it all away to go live in the desert and then come back stuttering all over the place to lead them people out. Come on, church. Why? Because he got a hold to God. Amen. He forsook it all. Amen. You go on down, you're going to find out by faith, Rahab, the harlot, perished not. Why? Because she found God, and she's in that cloud going, look, if it can happen for me, it can happen for you. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Amen. It goes down and talks about Gideon and Barak, Samson and Japheth, and all the other. And notice what it said, and others. He said, preacher, what are you talking about? I got grandparents who are in that cloud who never saw me preach, who never knew me as a Christian, but in that cloud they look down, and they're up there going, come on, son, I'm proud of you. You're going to make it with some of us might not have could have done it without God. You're going to make it in God because you are who God called to be. And some of you have kin folks in that cloud that are looking back saying, I'm waiting on you. You need to make it. You can't give up. You can't turn aside. You can't let it go. Glory. But now notice this. There is a race that is before us. Hebrews chapter 12, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See, it's the same race, but it's different. We're fighting the same devil, but in a different phase. Any of y'all ever run track? Any of y'all ever run a 4x4 relay where you pass the baton? You ever noticed I always put their best runner on the last leg, because it's going to be the hardest, because everybody realizes That is where it all pays off. I need somebody to start it good. I need somebody to hold on in the middle, but I need that guy at the end, because that's going to be the hardest part of the race. Can I tell you, we're on the last leg, folks. We're headed down the stretch, and the enemy is doing everything he can to destroy even the elect of God. And for that reason, when we look at the race that is set before us, we begin to realize things aren't going to be as easy as they used to be. Come on, church. We got the same goals they had. We're living by the same faith they lived. Amen. But listen, it's a different leg of the race. 100 years ago, bread, 32 cents a loaf. Milk, 32 cents a gallon. Buy a car for $500. Could buy a house for $3,000. Oh, I blew somebody's mind the other day. I remember I bought my first car. 1973 Dodge Charger, loaded. Tax, title, and all, drive off the parking lot. $120 a month with no money down for 36 months. Figure that up. That's less than $4,000, tax, title, and all. Oh, and that thing was loaded. Hello? Things have changed. Oh, if I could have been living back then, because you see, the average salary 100 years ago was less than $1,200 a year. Things have changed. The church was reverenced, had influence. The world has changed so much, even in the last 10 years. Now the church, well, if we preach the truth, we're narrow-minded. Hello? Religious fanatics? The spirit of Antichrist is alive in the church? We got preachers standing in the pulpit going, now this is what I believe. If it ain't in that book, who cares what you believe? Come on, church, smile at me. I think it's time we get... Listen, just the other day, one of the pastors in the state said his young people came to him and demanded he take their Sunday school teacher out because they don't need a teacher. They have their own opinions. You know, he told him, he said, not in this church you don't. You know why? Teenagers ain't been around long enough to formulate an opinion about that book that they don't understand. And I'll be honest with you, church, even some of our young adults don't need to be like, well, this is what I believe. If it ain't in a book, you don't need to believe it. Amen. Well, you're an absolutist. Better believe it, because that book's absolute, and I stand on it. Because when I get to the gates of heaven, I'm not going in on what men thinks. I'm going to make it on what this word says. Oh, come on, church. That's good preaching. Look at it any way you want to. Glory. Amen. Listen, we live in a world where philosophy has gone crazy. Arts become sensuous. Our TV now. We got words on television that make me cringe sometimes. I got the word, I don't even want to watch it. That's why I watch the old shows. I know they're going to get shot, but they're going to get up and be on another show next week. I know that violence ain't real. I mean, if you watch hard enough on some of them, you'll find out they don't even make the punch when you hear the... Because somebody on stage made the sound. They never made contact. Come on, church, smile. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. Yeah, I know in Star Trek they wasn't actually moving in people from one place to the next. Hello? But I didn't have to worry about them saying words that would get in my mind, so I'd start saying them thinking there's nothing wrong with them. And now we got people that are using these words in public that if I'd used them when I was a kid at 18 years old, my mouth would have got washed out with soap and not the good kind. My dad just figured whatever. He'd even pour Clorox if he needed to. Glory. But he'd let you know right quick, you ain't going to use them words. He used them, but I couldn't. Smile, church, because it was his house. And now we got to listen to. I got a friend that had cuss-free TV so he could watch television. And we honestly turned on a movie one night. Y'all ever seen this thing, Scarface? He put it on. The first 10 minutes, it ended up a bleep. We laughed, turned it off, said, man, you can't hear nothing they're saying. which meant every word they said was some type of slang word or a cuss word that thing God said, you can't hear that. Glory. It was like beep, 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 beep. And I'm going, why did he even turn it on? See, some of y'all, when I said, have you seen that? Y'all went, I worry about you. All I saw was that part of it. And we turned it off because we figured there wasn't no need watching the show that all we were hearing were bleeps. Glory. Come on, church. Today we've got people say they don't need God. But we should also check to see that we're on the right course. One of the worst things to do would be running a race and get on the wrong road. Come on, church. And you'd be killing yourself to find the end, and there ain't one there. And Jude said this, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful of me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Church, is this that? Or is that what they had this? Somewhere down the line, we've walked away from the very things that made us who we are. I mean, we're being told now in ministry that you can't build a church with the move of God. You can't build a church preaching the truth. We have one man has a big mega church, but he never preaches on salvation because he don't know how to explain salvation. Well, what are you building a church for if you can't tell people that's lost they need to get in an altar? Come on, church, I need an amen on that. Y'all looking at me like, wait a minute, preacher. No, we have gotten away from the very doctrines that made us who we are. And if we stand up against sin, why, we're just mean. Son, I'm not mean trying to help somebody from drowning. You're mean for saying it's okay. Go ahead. I'm on the shore. Go ahead. She's all yours. I have a responsibility as a God-called man of God to not get their blood on my hand and to let them go to hell without telling them the truth. I will love them, and I'll love them with everything that's got in me, but I will not back up from what this word says, nor will I turn around from what this word says. There is no new doctrine, and there is no translation of the word that's different from this. It is the power and the grace of God, and it is that word that's going to carry us through to eternity. Could you say amen? Oh, I got to hurry. Listen, this is why it's so important, because the Bible said, and I'm hurrying. Thank God I ain't going to get amen on that. Glory. There are sins that weigh us, that are trying to entangle us. Hebrews chapter 1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us. The New American Standard just uses the word encumbrance. Let us lay aside every encumbrance. Now, an encumbrance, a weight, doesn't really matter. They're both talking about something that stops you from doing what you need to do. When I was in high school, I was in pretty good shape. I ran all the time. I jumped all the time. I played sports 24/7, 365. I mean, I weighed 175 pounds. I was in good shape. Now, it ain't happening. They had me in rehab, and I'm over on that dumb bicycle, and it's about to kill me, and this guy come over, and he said, yep, you're going to get addicted to this. I said, no, sir, I believe I can quit this anytime I want to. Come by me one day, he said, you're burning fat now. I said, you better hope it's a controlled burn. He said, what? I said, if it ain't, there's going to be a mushroom cloud right here in just a few minutes. Glory. Come on, church. Smile at me. I ain't going to laugh. Some of y'all got the same problem. Y'all get mad somebody tells you. Glory. I'm not in the shape I used to be in, but I need to get in shape spiritually if I'm going to run this race. It's not so much about the physical part that's holding me back. I need to do the spiritual things. What are you talking about? The prayer, the fasting, the reading the book, spending time alone with God, meditating in his presence. Why? Because it's those things that's going to help me make it. You see, it's not so much how fast I run this race. It is whether or not I am able to finish it. I'm not running a speed race. I'm running a marathon. And for that reason, when that baton came in my hand, I got to understand, I got to last till we get to the end. Could you say amen? Glory.
And so therefore, I've got to get rid of those things that would keep me from being able to do the things I need to do to win the race. I got to lay aside those encumbrances, those sins, those things that aren't that necessary in my life that I think I can't live without. If it's wrong, I need to live without it. Come on, church, that's good preaching. You see, church, what you got to realize is the Word of God is still true. And instead of asking God what we got to get rid of to be saved, we got folks now are confessing their rights instead of their sins and giving me this political correct junk about, well, brother, everybody's got sin every day. That ain't in this book. I don't know where you heard that from. It doesn't say everybody. It said everybody was a sinner. But once we get saved, we're supposed to walk away from sin and run from sin instead of running into sin. And the problem I see today is we got folks, instead of running to Jesus, they're trying to figure a way to run around him and get on the other side without going through him. And there's no way to the other side except through him. Could you say amen? I don't care what people say. The Bible still says in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Sin will still tear your life apart. Sin will still destroy your joy. Sin will still take away your peace. Sin will still keep you out of eternity with God. And what we've got to do is realize the only way I'm going to keep running this race is get the sin out of my life. Sin will disqualify you. All preacher, prove it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run this race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. In other words, run so you can win. Whether you finish first or last, just finish. And every man that striveth to the mastery of the temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain the corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as unnecessary and uncertainty, so fight I not as one repaireth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself be cast away. Several translations uses the word be disqualified. In other words, he said, what good does it do me if I do all these other things and miss it? What if I save the whole world and lose my own soul? What if I teach Sunday school and go to hell? What if I went to church and paid my tithes, but I didn't live right and I spent an eternity without God? Listen, if we look behind, we stay defeated. If we look inside, we'll be dismayed. If we look in front of us, we get discouraged. But if we look up, we'll be delivered. You see, the last thing I want to talk to you about, there is Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Look unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. Amen. You're like, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. He does. The Bible said, I have not a high priest who is not touched by the feelings and infirmities of his people, but was tempted in all things, like as we, except without sin. Hallelujah. But now look, church, Paul even put something a little heavier in there. Listen. He said, consider Christ. In other words, next time you think you got it bad, consider Christ. Hello? He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. For surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And by those those stripes, we are healed. The next time you think you're having a bad day, think about what Christ went through to give you a life so you could think about having a bad day. Next time you think nobody knows what I'm going through, realize he's been there. He's done it. He came through it, and he took it to the cross. And the Bible said he that knew no sin became sin that we might then become the righteousness of God in him. He is the antidote for everything wrong in our life. He is the antidote for every problem we could ever run into. But in him, I'm going to live and move and have my being, and by him, I want to cross the finish line. I don't want to just get there. I want to cross with victory and with power and with anointing. And for that to happen, I've got to understand it is by his way and through his glory that I make it to the other side. And without him, I am nothing. Stand with me all over the house. I have a heritage to live up to. I wasn't raised Church of God. I was raised Scuzzball. My daddy's a backslid Methodist preacher. My mama a backslid church member. My great-grandfather built a church building in Gadsden, Alabama. That time was called Alabama City. There were two separate communities. The Cathedral of Praise Church is an outcry of that wooden building. It's the one-room building for a sanctuary. He drove the nails in that building, didn't realize the heritage he was leaving. Just an old carpenter doing what he could do for God. A group of people from that church went to Tuscaloosa, had church on the steps of a courthouse. Some folks from a little holiness church in a place called Buell, Alabama, invited them same people to come to Buell and run a revival. And Antioch Holiness Church became Buell Church of God. 50 years later, my great-grandfather's grandson stumbled into that church on a Sunday night, a drug addict, alcoholic. God came into his life. I don't know who's following me, but I got to keep my feet in the right place for those that are following, so that when we make it to the other side, they go in. I don't want to miss because of me. But every one of you have people in your lives who are looking to you and looking to your heritage. And for that reason, we got to finish the race. Father, we thank you this morning for your love, for your mercy, for your power, for your grace. Holy Spirit.